Hey, baby.
Who that?
It's the boys.
I don't got no length over here, bro. You're going to have to help me out.
Hey, God. What went wrong here?
I don't know, but I'm... There we go. Give me a little something. Scoot that thing over to the... Yeah.
Why is this different?
Just give me a little fucking something. Jeez.
All right.
Barely got any length on my rope, bro.
I keep him on a tight leash.
Jeez. Think I'm going to fucking wander off with my mic?
Maybe. Find a new podcast. You've been talking about getting a new podcast co-host for 6 months.
Well, you started showing up, so you see the talks died down.
The trades died down.
Yeah. Kids started playing again.
Put me in, coach.
So, you know, the vibes. We back. Or whatever. I don't know. Are we?
We're back.
Allegedly.
It's us.
It's A&A MMA.
You already know. Coming back at you. A little bit of a weaker fight night this weekend.
Yeah. Definitely not the most stacked fight night card you'll see, but there's some good scraps on there. It should be
some sleepers.
A serviceable night, you know?
Yeah, you know.
What is there? Like only 10 fights too, I think?
No, I thought there were like 13.
No, there's definitely not 13. There's either 10 or 11.
I might be wrong.
Oh, you're wrong.
Will you turn that down a pinch? That's all I can hear in my
ears. How are you about to tell me to turn that down a pinch when you're... It's literally like...
Because I don't know. I can't tell what the...
You already saw how short my friggin' mic cord is. How am I going to get over there?
Use them fucking extendo arms.
No, I don't got extend. Fuck! Take the man out of the game!
Get him out of there. Get him out of there.
Sorry, guys. We got bets going heavy tonight, so watching the ALDS right now. Game one. Astros versus White Sox. Need the Astros to cover. You know the vibes.
The ALDS?
Yep. American League Division Series.
Oh.
And then the next one's the ALCS. That's the American League Championship Series. And then they play the World Series. That's where the two top teams in the league come together, and they play seven baseball games maximum, four at a minimum, to see who's the world champion in the sport of baseball.
Are the Indians in there at all?
No siree.
Ouch.
We didn't even have a winning record this year.
Ooh, what happened?
It all fell apart when our bitch ass owner
didn't want to pay.
Shit fuck Dolan did not want to pay no money.
Mm.
You broke bitch.
Shame.
Sell the team.
Damn. All right. Well. Let's start off with some news. Did we... I just had a brain fart. Did we talk about the Bare-Knuckle Boxing fighter last week, or was that...
That just happened this
okay,
week.
Okay, yeah. So, RIP to... I believe his name was Tom.
What?
No? Hang on.
Bro, how are...
Oh, my...
Dude, God. I had this written down, and I'm scrambling right now. The mics fucked me up. The cords, everything.
I believe his name was... Tom, like, super fucking heartfelt right there, brother. Nice. What the fuck?
Hang on. I got it.
There's no way this guy's serious. I think his name was Tom. Like, you just guessed that.
I definitely did.
Jeez,
where is this shit,
dude?
Oh, my God. Did I delete it? Motherfuck.
Ow. Okay.
All right. Can you look it up?
Wow. What is wrong with you?
Dude, I don't know. I'm not firing on all cylinders today.
Okay, I
haven't been able to sleep the last couple days, and I don't know why. You know?
I guess, dude.
All right, here we go. Got it here. So his name was Justin Thornton. Not Tom. He died after his bare-knuckle FC loss. I believe it was his debut with the company. I might be wrong
it
on
was.
That one. He had like a, what was it, 6-18 MMA record or something like that?
Pro boxing record.
Oh, okay.
The guy he fought had like an 11 and something boxing record and a pretty decent MMA record as well.
Gotcha. He got knocked out and he fell on his face and apparently was paralyzed from there. And he was in the hospital for like 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. And yeah, he got out and collapsed.
Yeah, I saw a lot of our local fighters, Drew Dixon, just, you know, talking about just how matchmakers, man, sometimes do some shady shit like that, and they don't really have the fighters' well-being in their, you know, collective minds while they're making these fights. And I mean, that's clear when you're putting a guy that has a 6-18 pro boxing record up against a guy that, you know, has a really good boxing record. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's kind of non-ethical, you know.
I agree.
Just to put the fight together like that.
Also, bare knuckle is like, I feel like, more brutal than like MMA in general. And Dana White went on this big rant about how they do not do nearly the amount of testing that the UFC does. He went on to say that he's found 10 fighters this year that if they would have fought, they would have had life-threatening conditions and injuries. So, and they were able to pull those fights. So hopefully bare knuckle can get their shit together with their post or pre-fight screening, especially the state of Mississippi,
and make better fights.
Yeah, that too. Not sanction a dude who's 38 and been knocked out before, you know. But yeah, RIP. Big hit from bare knuckle. Whoa. What do you got to say? You ain't said nothing.
Just that whole, like, that. I just don't got anything to say. No comment.
All right. Aspen Ladd is stepping back in there. She's taking on Norma Dumont at featherweight.
Stepping in for Holly Holm, which I was excited to see Holly get in there with Norma Dumont. I thought that was a pretty interesting matchup. But, I mean, about time Aspen Ladd went up a weight class. Holy shit.
Yeah.
We'll never see her at 135 again.
I hope not. I mean, she could... Amanda could drop that belt and Aspen could hold it for a while. She's only, what, 22, 23? She can do that.
We'll see how she looks in the weight class, though.
For sure. She's probably going to look big.
I don't think we've seen her in there, so.
No. Jason Witt taking on Phil Rowe.
Okay, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We'll see if Witt goes to strike or goes to his grappling in that fight.
So apparently, Rob Font was offered the interim title fight before Sandhagen, but he declined because he just got over COVID and couldn't make the date.
So why is he fighting Jose Aldo then?
In December.
Why? It was just like a different time?
It was that fight's happening in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He's fighting Jose in December.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But that would have been cool to see too. Rob Funnel will get there one day. Did you see this? So Khamzat Chimaev is taking on Jack Hermansson in a freestyle wrestling match in Sweden.
What?
Yeah.
That's dope. I didn't see that.
November 19th.
Nice. Little warm up for hopefully he doesn't get injured or anything.
That's after the
Jinglong fight.
Yeah, that's after that, I believe.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I didn't know they did stuff like that. Let's see what else we got here. You said those. Luis Smolka and Vince Morales.
Nice.
Jim Miller and Eric Gonzalez. Rani Yahya and Kyung Ho Kang.
Okay.
Oh, did I miss this? You know who else is back in the UFC? Motherfucking Brandon Davis. And he's taking on Dana Batgirl.
Let's go.
I like that.
Brandon Davis should always be in it. Like,
for real.
I mean, yeah, his record wasn't the best, but he always, always has exciting fights.
Dude, that's
no questions asked.
One of the funnest fights to watch. The heavyweight, what do you call it?
Unification.
Unification bout for the titles is happening in the first pay-per-view of 2022, January 22nd, UFC 270.
Who's in it, Slim?
Francis in Cyril.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun matchup. There's going to be a lot of leather being swung that day, I think.
For sure. Alistair Overeem is out of his fight with Rico Van Hooven.
Yeah, that was going to be his debut there in glory. Well, not his debut, but his return to glory. Yeah.
For the belt already. I don't know if they're going to reschedule that or if someone else is going to fill in or not. Kyle Dauskas and Kevin Holland. Oh, we already talked. Okay, no, I meant last week. I know, I always do that. Dauskas. You know who else?
No, we didn't talk about that because that fight happened last weekend.
What?
How have we talked about it already?
Oh, we talked about it over text. Never mind. Kevin Holland, Kyle Dauskas, rescheduled for November 13th.
Yeah. We'll get to what happened with that a little bit later, but...
Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier is finally official.
Let's go!
For December 11th, UFC 269.
When is that?
December 11th.
Ooh, all right. You might be able to... I feel like we're going to get a disagreement in that main event, so...
2 days after my birthday.
Crawl your way back in on that one.
I like it. What else do we got here? Kama Worthy's taking on Jai Herbert.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
That's a good one. There's Brandon Davis one. Marc-Andre Barrio and Chad... Chidi. Is it Chad? Chidi Njuquani.
Nice. I already talked about that last week.
Okay, good. Now we're into last week's stuff. You know who else has rebooked a fight?
Who?
Our very own Cassius.
Yeah. He rebooked one or he
They're
just
like he's
one.
Got a new fight.
Nice, yes.
And it's happening soon.
Slim's making it sound like somebody backed out of the one fight. Nobody backed out. He just got...
No, like he's just on it.
He just got a fight booked here for, I think it's Fury FC like 58 or something like that. Which
53,
which will be attended by no other than one Dana White.
Yes.
On looking for a fight. So hopefully our guy Cassius, we see him on the YouTube. On the looking for a fight episode, that would be so awesome, dude.
That'd be amazing. It's November 14th.
And there's another fighter that just got added to that card that we'll be talking about here momentarily.
Yeah, that's right. All right, that's all I got.
Nice. All right. So, with that all being said, we move now to Monty's Contender Corner, where we are going to talk about last week's Contender Series. Of course, week 6. It's in the books, man, and it was another great night of fights. Very entertaining through and through. So let's go ahead and get into the very first fight of the night. We had Genaro Valdez taking on Patrick White. And so Valdez came into this one a minus, I think it closed at minus 900. When I had saw it, though, it got all the way up to minus 1,000 in favor of Valdez. So
unnecessary.
First round, all Valdez. I mean, had Patrick White, you know, really kind of shook. So he starts to gas out like after the first round, I mean, halfway through, and Patrick White turns the tables, almost gets a stoppage. It was looking like all the momentum's in favor of Patrick White. Well, about 40 seconds into the second round, this dude, Genaro Valdez, lands a massive shot and just really, really clipped Patrick White, put him down and finished him with some punches. So for such a big favorite, it got really squirrely there, but yeah, I thought it was a good one. What's going on here?
I don't know. My phone just lit up too.
Jeez, everybody's texting us. I gotta mute all of the group texts currently.
Pigskin's the only one I haven't muted. I don't know why.
All right, everything's muted. So Genaro Valdez defeats Patrick White via TKO due to punches 44 seconds into the second round. Mexico's Valdez improves his record now to 10-0, while Patrick White falls to 9-2. And Genaro Valdez is the newest addition to the 155-pound lightweight division. We'll see if they get him booked anytime soon. But yeah, I'm excited to see what's next for him. Let's go ahead and move on to the middleweights. We had another banger here. This was a fun one. It was Joseph Holmes taking on Shante Barnes. Another pretty big favorite here. I think Joseph Holmes was something like the minus 425 favorite coming into this one. And he was definitely a little bit more dominant than Valdez. So first off, Joseph Holmes, great mustache.
True.
And what do they call him? The ugly man? Is that his thing? He's the ugly man?
I don't remember. Let me see if it says.
Yeah, it's
here.
Just ugly man. That's his nickname. So
ugly man. All right.
I don't think he's that ugly. I mean,
good looking guy. Come on.
Kind of modest, I guess.
Got a Myers mustache, but
but yeah, man, Joseph Holmes, his jiu-jitsu is fantastic, and he put it on display here. Sunk in a rear naked choke. That was 2 minutes and 46 seconds into the second round. Joseph Holmes defeats Shante Barnes. Holmes improves his record now to 6-1, while Shante Barnes falls to 6-2. Interesting stuff here. We kind of talked to you guys about there's another fighter joining our guy Cassius on that Fury FC card. Well, it's Joseph Holmes. Dana had never done this before, but he offered Holmes a quick turnaround fight to go on to looking for a fight, and we'll see if he can pull it off on the YouTube series. Couldn't get it done on the Contender Series, which I definitely thought he did enough to warrant a contract. But
same.
You know, Dana's been really weird about the shit this year, so I don't know.
He also was like, oh, yeah, looking for a fight gets a million views in the first week. And it was like,
does it?
I guess.
I didn't know people were watching looking for a fight like that.
Me neither. I haven't watched the last three.
Anyways, Joseph Holmes gets the win. All right, let's go ahead. And Andy didn't get the contract, but going on looking for a fight. So we'll see him soon. Let's go ahead and move on to the bantamweights. Oh, man, this was a fun one. Who'd we have?
Fernie Garcia taking on Joshua Weems.
So Weems missed weight, so pretty much he was screwed from the get-go.
Yeah.
But Fernie Garcia, man, just dominant in this one. I mean, he had everything working. Mind you, this guy's never had a knockout in his career. Goes
what?
Out there
really?
And knocks out Joshua Weems with an overhand right.
Are
2 minutes
serious?
Into the fight.
He fights like that. He's never. Yeah, he had. No, those are real. What? That's crazy.
Yep.
Wow.
So impressive stuff there by Fernie Garcia, getting his first knockout of his career, doing it in a big way. Fernie Garcia defeats Joshua Weems via knockout due to a right hand and some ground strikes. Fernie Garcia now 10-1 overall. Joshua Weems falls to 8-2, and we got a new bantamweight, and he's Fernie Garcia. And I think he's going to be another one of these fighters we see with a quick turnaround. Also, you forgot to mention Jasmine Jasuda Vicious will be making her UFC debut against Kay Hansen. That was also announced on the Contender Series.
I missed that.
They announced another one too, but I just walked in the room when they got done talking about it, so I didn't hear who it was.
I must have missed that one. That's good though. I like that.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to the.
Oh, also, I like when the prospects are coming up with like double digit wins in their records going into Contender Series. Like, I think that gives you a way bigger sample size than like these guys that are like, I don't know. I mean, Joseph Holmes, like, he's 6-1 now. He was 5-1 coming into this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I gotcha. All right, let's move on to the fourth fight of the night. Another fun one here. This was the only one I got wrong on my predictions for the night, but it was an entertaining fight nonetheless, man.
Yeah, Carlos Hernandez taking on Daniel Barnes.
Nope, try it again.
Bears.
Nope.
Barrez.
All right, close. Barrez. So Barrez coming in from Spain. Very experienced, had 16 fights coming into this one. He's fought a lot of good competition. I believe he fought Manel Kopp, a couple other pretty big names. And then Carlos Hernandez, you know, young guy coming in here, not too much experience as compared to Daniel Barrez, but man, he really hung in there. Barrez was really pouring it on, kind of emptying that tank there early in the first round, and Hernandez just never stopped with the striking, man. By the third round, he had Barrez just totally worn out, and Hernandez was just still on full go. So this kid's gas tank is just something to behold, and he's a very, very active fighter, clearly down for a barn burner. The volume was just amazing from this kid, so I think he's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to see more out of Carlos Hernandez. He defeats Daniel Barrez via split decision, 29-28, 29-28, 28-29. Carlos Hernandez now 7-1 overall. Daniel Barrez falls to 12-5. And another contract handed out, a new flyweight. It's Carlos Hernandez. I believe there's been 5 flyweight fights this season and 6 contracts handed out. So a lot of flyweight additions coming from the Contender Series this season.
I mean, they need
season.
It. At flyweight, you win a fight and you're ranked.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and get on to this main event, man. This was awesome.
We had Mike Malott taking on Shimon. Was it Shimon? Shimon?
Shimon, yeah.
Shimon. Smotrisky.
So, yeah, this was just a blitzkrieg here by Mike Malott. So, Shimon Smotrisky kind of starts trying to, you know, strike, which Malott was definitely content to do. Smotrisky goes in for a takedown and just right into a guillotine for Mike Malott, and he sunk that thing in there quick and deep.
That
and,
was like how, what mean, we just saw Brian Ortega do.
Right, right. Like, just jump. Well, I mean, they started from a standing position.
Sure, was, but, the way
but the way he got on it really quick. Up, yeah. yeah. Right. Mike Malott, dude. His striking, crisp, and obviously he's got the submissions, too. Like, yo, this dude might be a problem. I think he could be one of the big names to come out of this season. Definitely.
Especially, I feel like we haven't had many welterweights, either.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. But, man, to go out there and get a 39-second stoppage, that's some impressive stuff there by Mike Malott. I like this kid, man.
That's how you get a contract.
And he's... So is he the Muay Thai or the Jiu-Jitsu coach at Team Alpha Male? I can't figure it out.
I thought
they said Muay Thai, but the more I saw, I don't know if it might be Jiu-Jitsu.
I don't know.
But I think he just got his black belt, so I don't think he can be
teaching Jiu-Jitsu. In which one? In Jiu-Jitsu?
Yeah.
Let's see if it says anything about him. His pro debut. Muay Thai head coach at Titans Fitness Academy.
So he's it says he's 23 in that article there. So that was 3 years ago. So he must be the Muay Thai coach at Team Alpha Man now.
Yeah, I would imagine, because he says he also teached Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu too when he had a purple belt. Damn, he's multi-talented.
Let's get it.
I like it.
All right. So Mike Malott defeats Shimon Smotrisky via submission due to a guillotine choke 39 seconds into the very first round. Mike Malott, the Canadian, now 7-1. Shimon Smotrisky, the Israeli fighter, now 7-1 as well. So Mike Malott, the fourth and final contract of the night, new 170-pounder. I think he's going to be awesome in there, so I'm excited to see what's next for him. I imagine he'd get a quick turnaround with a 39-second stoppage. The way they've been booking these Contender Series fighters right after their fights this year, I see him getting another shot here soon. So, four contracts handed out on the night and another fighter sent to looking for a fight. So, pretty entertaining stuff, Slim, I'd say.
I agree.
All right, so I went 4-1 on my
4 UFC contracts and one sent to YouTube.
I went 4-1 on my picks for the night, and yeah, overall it was a good one. Nice. All right, let's go ahead and run down this Bellator card real quick. So I had every intent of watching this thing live. I couldn't watch the prelims because I was very busy, but I got home. Started watching the main card and totally passed out.
Damn.
Can't even lie to you guys. I fell right asleep.
Damn. It put you to sleep, huh?
Put me to sleep. But I did watch the main event as I,
that's
of course,
all.
Had to.
That's
so.
All I watched, too.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's go ahead and just run down this real quick. In the first fight of the night, it was Khurshed Kakharov defeating Jair Jr. Kakharov, now 8-0 overall. Jair Jr. falls to 8-3. The judges had that unanimous decision, 30-27s across the board. In the women's strawweight division, Chiara Penko defeats Katharina Dalizda via submission due to an armbar that was 2 minutes and 45 seconds into the very first round. Chiara Penko, the Italian, now 6-3 overall. The German, Dalizda, is now 5-3. I start the night 2-0 on my picks, and I improve a little bit more here. We had the Frenchman, Fabakari Diatta, taking on the Englishman, Nathan Rose. And Diatta just continuing to dominate throughout his career. Fabakari Diatta defeats Nathan Rose via unanimous decision, 30-27s across the board. In the welterweight division, I start the night 4-0 because Jack Grant defeats Nathan Jones via TKO due to punches. That was 2 minutes and 16 seconds into the very first round. Jack Grant, now 18-7 overall. Nathan Jones falls to 13-11. We move on now to the women's flyweight division, where we had Greece's Elena Kalyandu taking on Petra Kaskova, the Czech Republic fighter. And I believe, isn't that where she's from? Or am I tripping? I'm just out here. Who? Like, oh, yeah, she's from the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Kaskova. yeah, the Greek fighter Caliendo, just great with the submissions. Got the heel hook there just 2 minutes and 7 seconds into the very first round. Caliendo improves her record now to 8-4. Kaskova now falls to 4-4. I'm 5-0 on the night. And we move to the lightweight division, where we had, I think I got this one wrong, but we had Davy Gallen, the Frenchman, taking on Kane Musa. Gallen just pretty dominant here throughout this one. Another one judge did have it 29-28 for Gallen, but the other judge just had it 30-27 for unanimous decision victory by Davy Gallen. He improves his overall record now to 19-7. Kane Musa falls to 13-4. Here's the featured preliminary bout. I got this one right. It was Wells, Lewis Long, taking on Michael Dubois. And quick work for Lewis Long. Got this fight to the ground early. Sunk in the rear naked choke. 41 seconds in. Light work for Lewis Long. He's 19-6 overall now. The Swiss fighter, Michael Dubois, falls to 11-8. All right, let's move on to the main card. Starting with Tim Wilde taking on Yves Landau. It was Tim Wilde defeating Yves Landau via unanimous decision. The judges had it 29-28 across the board. So Landau falls to 16-9. Tim Wilde now 14-4 overall. A battle between two Englishmen in the light heavyweight division. It was Luke Trainer. I told you guys, people were really, really high on this kid, and he came in and showed exactly why. Lands a nasty elbow for a knockout victory over Yannick Bahati, who is, you know, no pushover by any means. So just continuing to impress. I'm telling you guys, this Luke Trainer kid is a problem. He defeats Yannick Bahati via knockout due to an elbow 2 minutes 50 seconds into the second round. Luke Trainer now 5-0 overall. Yannick Bahati falls to 9-6. This fight ended as a no contest due to an unintentional eye poke. It was the Scottish fighter Robert Whiteford taking on the Englishman Andrew Fisher. That was 2 minutes 50 seconds into the second round, and like I said, that's no contest. All right, co-main event of the evening. They were really trying to show their girl off here, and you know, kind of wasn't super impressive, but nonetheless, she got it done, got the win. It was Leah McCourt taking on Jessica Borga. McCourt, you know, Bellator's clearly really trying to push her, putting her in the co-main event spot here. We expected dominance from her and didn't exactly get that. One judge did have it 30-27, but two other judges had it 29-28. So Leah McCourt defeats Jessica Borga via unanimous decision. Leah McCourt now 6-1. Jessica Borga falls to 3-4. All right, time for the main event of the evening, the whole reason why we're here.
It's Michael Venom Page taking on Douglas Lima.
So what do you think about this one, Slim? Because a lot of people saying robbery.
Yeah, I didn't see robbery, but I will say this was another case of Douglas Lima finally finding the gas pedal late, but too little too late.
Yeah.
Had this been a 5-round fight, yeah, he might have walked away with that one.
Yeah.
But in a 3-round fight, the only time he was winning was like the last minute of each round he would get a takedown. And I had it 2-1. MVP.
So that first round, MVP, like, I wouldn't, they were close to knockdowns. The second one definitely more of a knockdown than the first one.
Yeah.
But MVP was definitely starting to get the better of Douglas with the punches early in that round. And then, like you said there, towards the end, Lima did get him down to the ground, but there wasn't really much done with it.
No, he just,
so I,
that, like, he's trying to steal the round, but like, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And this and, day, and
that
day
was
and age.
That was one of the rounds in question for sure, because I thought second round was for sure MVP.
Yeah.
And then that third round, I thought Lima did do enough in that one to get that round with the grappling. You know, there was a lot of control time, and he definitely did more damage than he did in that first round. So yeah, I had it 2-1 MVP myself. First two rounds to MVP, third one to Lima.
Like I said, man, Lima just needs to put his foot on the gas.
There was
he needs
a lot
to come
of,
out starting.
These guys with the striking, though, there was just a lot of times where it was kind of just like stagnant between them.
I
so.
Agree. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's what MVP does. He tries to lull you into a false sense of hope, thinking he's, oh, look at this herky-jerky guy. I'm going to come in there, and then you get knocked out.
Yeah.
But, like I said, man, Douglas Lima, dude, on a 3-fight losing streak right now.
Wild.
I can't believe
just
that.
Just wild.
Literally last year We were talking about the best welterweights in the world is Kamaru Usman, Douglas Lima. Like, number two. Boom. Now, I wouldn't even know. I don't even know if I'd call him top 10, honestly.
Oh, he's not.
In the UFC.
He's not.
So, that's what a fall from grace on that one.
Right. All right. Well, Michael Venom Page defeats Douglas Lima via, split decision. Two judges had it 29-28. One judge had it 29-28 in favor of Lima. Michael Venom Page now 20-1 overall now. Douglas Lima falls to 32-10. Also, after this one, or I think starting next year, Bellator is doing 5-round main events. So.
Yes, yeah. Scott Coker announced it on Monday.
Don't know why you guys weren't doing that before, but whatever.
Yeah, well, they're behind.
Whatevs.
Maybe you well would have won, too.
Good one, Slim.
Zing.
Good one. All right, we got one more fight card to talk about here on the night. It was...
Jenny Walker and Thiago Santos.
A.K.A. UFC Fight Night 193. You know we were using that hashtag UFC Vegas 38, so...
You know, some of the prelims are good. Some of the prelims were like, you know, I don't know about these, but the main card for sure delivered.
Yeah. Yeah, there was it was overall a good card. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was a good night of fights.
I'd say so. All right. Let's kick it off. From the beginning, we had Alejandro Perez taking on Johnny Aguardo.
Yeah, so this was a pretty interesting fight at the start. Johnny definitely working his Muay Thai early. Perez just weird with the... His movement was so weird, dude. The way he was going, like, side to side with his shoulders, it was just... I don't know. We've never seen him do that. But nonetheless, man, first round, kind of, you know, back and forth. Second round, Perez is able to get it down to the ground. Ends up locking in, like, a scarf hold arm lock is what they ended up calling it. But it was just like a... Just like a straight arm bar, pretty much.
But it was like his arm was like this, like out towards his back.
Yeah, like when you break it down, it's just a straight arm bar.
Yeah.
But he did have him in a scarf hold. And yeah, it was just pretty interesting stuff there from Alejandro Perez. You don't see that submission too much in the UFC. So it was fun to see that one. Nonetheless, Alejandro Perez defeats Johnny Eduardo via submission due to a scarf hold arm lock 4 minutes and 13 seconds into the second round. Alejandro Perez now 22-8-1 overall, 8-3-1 in the UFC. He's earned 15 of his 22 victories by stoppage, and that was his first submission win since October 12th of 2013.
Wow.
Almost 3,000 days. That's nearly 8 years and 12 fights.
Damn.
Johnny Eduardo. Now 28-13 overall, 3-5 in the UFC. He's on a 3-fight losing streak now, and that was his 10th of his. So he's had 11 career stoppage losses. 10 of them have came by way of submission.
Hmm. All right.
So A&A MMA starts the night 1-0. Let's go ahead and move on to the second fight of the night and our only disagreement.
Yeah, we had Stephanie Egger taking on Shayna Young, and man. I thought Shayna Young would have the wrestling advantage, and boy, was I wrong.
Stephanie Egger grappled Gabby Garcia, dog. Gabby Garcia.
I mean, I didn't watch that. Like, she lost. Like, what do you want me to take away from that?
The fact that she was there. You don't just get to grapple with Gabby Garcia if you're a poop grappler. Goofball.
They're probably goofball. Just looking at women like, will you do it? No. Will you do it? No. Will you do it? Yeah. All right. Hop in here.
That's not how that works.
With her? She outweighed her by 75 pounds.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not too many women the size of Gabby Garcia out here, so yeah.
Anyway.
Stephanie Egger. I wasn't expecting her to get it done with the ground and pound, though. That was really impressive. She started pouring it on there halfway through the second round, and yeah. Ref stepped in and called that one. I believe that was Mark Smith who was reffing that one. So, yeah, Stephanie Egger defeats Shayna Young via... TKO due to ground and pound, 2 minutes, 22 seconds into the second round. That freaked me out when I saw it on the TV, 2 minutes, 22 seconds into the second round.
What?
2 minutes, 22 seconds into the second round. I'm not talking about the fucking baseball game. I'm talking about the fight we're talking about.
Oh, gotcha.
2 minutes, 22 seconds into the second round.
I see.
That's the name of this episode. Stephanie Egger now 6-2 overall. She is 1-1 in the UFC, and she's earned 5 of her 6 career victories by way of stoppage. Shanna Young, now 7-4 overall, 0-2 in the UFC, and that was the first knockout loss of her career. So, I improve the overall lead against Sleazebag to 14 now. It's almost home free for Monty. Run me my money. I forgot to mention Alejandro Perez got 50 G's. You don't see that in the first fight of the night too much, so good for him.
Nice. All right, moving on. We got Douglas De Silva de Andrade taking on Gaetano Perello.
Why do you put random letters?
Gaetano Perello.
Yes.
I don't know why. Yeah. I always want to throw an N in there.
I, honest to God, cannot remember the last time I saw a guy get punched so hard he went horizontal in the air.
Right.
Honest to God, cannot remember.
Knocked right off his equilibrium.
I mean, De Andrade, I'm not kidding. He punched him so hard he went horizontal in the air, like almost like straight flat.
Yeah,
Perillo
was
air.
Trying to throw a kick or something, and it did not work out for him.
Crazy stuff, dude. Uh-oh, they're chipping away on my spread, bro. Chill out, bro.
Ooh, 3 on.
Chill out, bro. If they hit a fucking grand slam and kill my spread, I'll smash this TV.
You still got up 2, right?
The spread's 2, so.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
If they get to 4, I'll still win. Yeah. Just as long as they don't get to 5.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, De Silva de Andrade came in looking ripped up, lean, mean, and nasty.
He's just such a good striker, and you just saw that. Like, Perillo just came a little bit too aggressive. And the counter left hook from De Andrade, just vicious, dude. So, Douglas Silva de Andrade defeats Gaetano Perello via knockout due to a punch 2 minutes and 4 seconds into the very first round. Douglas Silva de Andrade, now 27-4 overall, 5-4 in the UFC. He's earned 20 of his 27 career victories by way of knockout. Gaetano Perello, now 15-7-1 overall, 0-2 in the UFC, and he suffered 6 of his 7 career losses by way of stoppage, which includes both of his UFC defeats. And Douglas Silva de Andrade earned himself 50 G's. So
as he should.
3 fights, 2 performances, so the bonuses handed out. Got off to an exciting start for sure.
Why don't we make it 4? We had Devontae Smith taking on Jamie Mullarkey. Man, this one was hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean,
so was it a leg injury from Devontae?
I didn't hear that,
because like the commentators called it out, and that's what I thought when I was watching it, because Devontae just kind of slowed down. He didn't look as bouncy in the second round. Jamie was, you know, pressuring him a lot more, and Devontae was constantly on his back foot, so he couldn't get his power off as much.
Sometimes when fighters are just coming at you constantly forward with that pressure and you're hitting them with your good shots and they're not backing up, like they just keep coming forward, it's hard to keep up that pace. And I think that's...
No, sure, the pacing, yeah. But they called out a leg injury, so that's why I was like, ooh, maybe that's what it was. Could be not. It could be, like you said, just the constant pressure of Jamie Mullarkey, because he was not stopping going forward, even got a takedown in that exchange. But yeah, man, Jamie Mullarkey caught Devontae, I think it was a body shot, right?
I mean, he got him with a couple body shots, but yeah, that was like the one that sent him down. I
believe Devontae came out and said he broke his ribs, fractured his orbital.
I don't know. Last I saw, he was hitting a fat-ass dab on fucking Instagram, so.
Yeah, that's what I saw. But he said he broke some ribs and fractured his orbital.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that's really tough. Jamie Mullarkey hits hard. But I mean, when you train with the champ, you know.
Should have came on the pod, Devontae. Jamie Mullarkey defeats Devontae Smith via TKO due to punches 2 minutes 51 seconds into the second round. Jamie Mullarkey improves his overall record now to 14-4. He's now 2-2 in the UFC. He's earned 13 of his 14 career victories by way of stoppage.
Wow.
Mullarkey has also earned both of his UFC wins by knockout. Devontae Smith, now 11-3 overall, 3-2 in the UFC. He suffered all 3 of his career losses by way of knockout. And yeah, like you said, Slim, another performance of the night bonus handed out. Jamie Mullarkey. Is that what you said 4 in a row? You just meant 4.
Four fights. Like 4 out of 3.
Yeah, I got you.
Or, you know.
3. Yeah. What? I got 4 out of 3. 3 out of 4. Yeah, Jamie Mullarkey getting himself a 50
$1,000 performance that I bet is.
Crazy.
All right, let's move on to a fight that was contested at a catch weight because Batch Correa just don't give a fuck.
Nah, retirement fight. She's like, I ain't giving a shit. It was her taking on Carol Rosa here. I mean, what was she doing in there? What was the point? Carol Rosa pieced her up for 15 minutes.
Just lighting her shit up.
15 straight minutes. She landed 145 strikes to Betch's 85. 125 significant to Betch's 62. Rosa landing at a 66% accuracy. Betch couldn't do nothing.
It's just a great thing that she's retiring.
I mean,
don't get me wrong. I'm really going to miss going, Batch cry.
Batch cry. You know, someone posted on Instagram, like, what's your fondest memory of Betch cry? And I commented her getting knocked out by Holly Holm after taunting.
That is like probably the most Betch Correa moment ever, right there.
Or getting knocked out by Ronda Rousey. Like, her knockout losses are what stick with me more than. But anyway,
Carol Rosa defeats Betch Correa. Let's do it one more time together.
Betch Correa.
See you, Betch.
It sounded like bye, bitch.
Bye, Betch. yeah, Carol Rosa with the unanimous decision victory, 30-27, 30-27, 30-26. Carol Rosa improves her overall record now to 15-3. She's a perfect 4-0 in the UFC. That four-fight UFC winning streak at women's bantamweight, second longest streak in the division behind Amanda Nunes's 9.
Wow.
And she's earned all four of her UFC victories by decision. Batch Correa, now 11-6-1 overall, 5-6-1 in the UFC. And as me and Slim said, that was her swan song. Allegedly, I don't know. She said she retired before in this, so who knows?
I thought she got cut before.
She, yeah, right. No, you're right. But she also said like she retired, which they were probably like, "Yeah, we're cutting you." And she was like, "Oh no, I'm retiring." Like, no.
Oh no, I quit.
Right, you didn't fire me. I quit. All right, so we move on now. I think I'm 4-1 on the night. Slim's 3-2. Yeah, we move on to the women's flyweight division and a star.
I'm struggling at this.
Bro, give me it. Give me
wrong?
The fucking thing.
What am I
thing.
Doing wrong? Look. I had the suction.
Look.
Put it over it. And then you put this here and you use your finger, come up on it. Oh, I thought you were supposed to wrap around it with the thumb.
What are you doing?
All right. My dad's teaching me how to open a bottle with a lighter.
Jeez, man. All right. Like I said, a star was born.
Yeah, we had Antonina Shevchenko taking on Casey O'Neill here. And
also, can I just say, if Casey O'Neill doesn't land on your Slim's Hottest Fighter of the Year ballot, total ripoff.
Really?
She's
snub.
She's a body.
A snub, really?
Yeah, I had to go follow her on IG, which I found out she's dating Ty Gwerder.
Who?
Bellator guy.
Mm.
Hawaiian.
Mm, okay.
Undefeated, I believe.
Really? All right, I didn't... All right, might be a sleeper pick.
Yeah, bro. You don't think Casey O'Neill's a baddie?
She's cute. Those eyes.
Eyes. She's got, like, pretty nice teeth. Yeah, she's got the leg tatties. Casey O'Neill's cute. You know, I don't usually sexualize fighters, but...
It's not Casey, sexualizing. That's a compliment.
Casey O'Neill, hit my DMs. And Ty Gwerder, if you got a problem about it, I'll fight Dylan Danis.
Okay. So, yeah, Casey O'Neill, man, she smashed this fight. The first round, I will say, Antonina looked decent in defending the takedowns.
Yeah.
She's clearly worked on that, but it wasn't enough. Casey O'Neill was way too good of a grappler.
Yeah, you kind of figured, like, eventually Casey was going to get down to the ground where she wanted it. And once she did, man, her ground and pound is, like, some of the best in the division.
She's got great top control. She's just...
And she just, like,
God.
Pours it on when she gets on top.
Yeah. I mean, if she's not ranked after this fight, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. She is. She is ranked.
Mm.
I believe she's number 15 now, so...
Let's look.
There was actually a lot of...
shifts.
In the rankings, yeah. There's an account on Instagram we need to follow that posts all the, like, rankings and, like, it has, like, a...
Oh, really?
It's, like, very comprehensive.
She is number 14 debuting.
Ah, nice, nice, nice. Yeah. Well-deserved, I think.
For sure.
All right. Well, Casey O'Neill defeats Antonina Shevchenko via TKO due to punches, 4 minutes, 47 seconds into the second round. Casey O'Neill remaining undefeated with a perfect record of 8-0. She's 3-0 in the UFC. She's on a three-fight winning streak in the UFC, which is tied for the second longest active streak in the division behind Valentina Shevchenko's 8. O'Neill has earned all three of her UFC victories by stoppage. Those three stoppages in the women's flyweight division, fourth most in divisional history behind Valentina's 5, Jillian Robertson's 5, and Montana De La Rosa's 4. Also, oh, yeah, Montana De La Rosa out of the rankings now. That's
right. Ah, gotcha.
O'Neill's three-fight UFC stoppage streak, longest among all active females on the roster.
Wow. What?
Yep. Antonina Shevchenko, 9-4 overall, 3-4 in the UFC. Consecutive losses for the first time in her career. She hasn't won since November of last year. And that was the first knockout loss of her career. So, yeah, man. Like I said, Casey O'Neill definitely deserves to be in the rankings. And I think, like I said, a star was born, man. I think she's really dangerous. She's going to give a lot of fighters fits in this division. Also got herself a $50,000.
Four.
Yep.
Wow.
On the prelims. Four in the first six fights.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
So I saw this fucking meme. It was a video of Valentina at the gun range. And she pulled out a pistol and landed like five targets like pretty quick. And the caption was, could you imagine coming up to this girl and telling her sisters got cut from the UFC?
That's good.
I don't know if Antonina's out, but it's not looking so good for her.
Also, dude, so I'm sitting here watching this thing by myself when they're starting like the prelims, and they're like hyping up, you know, all the fights for the prelims or whatever, and they're like, one of the most accomplished MMA fighters you'll ever find across the world. I'm like, what? Where?
Who are they talking about?
Antonina Shevchenko.
What? Muay Thai, mate.
I was literally geeking, bro. I was laughing out loud, like hard.
I did not hear that.
They were Caparellis on that one.
Wow.
Capellini pasta.
You should know.
Yeah. No, they were tripping. Big tripping.
Damn.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the lightweight division. We both got this one wrong.
Yeah, it was Joe Selecki taking on Jared Gordon. We knew it was going to be a wrestling match.
Yeah.
I thought that... I mean, we knew Joe wanted to get to the ground. We knew Jared had good ground game, but we knew he mostly wanted to keep it standing.
Right.
I thought Joe did really good on the ground, but he wasn't able to keep it down there long enough. Gordon, his top control, though, when he got his lone takedown, was like the whole round,
right,
almost. The whole second round was all Jared Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he capitalized on that in the third with the hands. And, I mean, man, he stole this one.
Yeah, it was a close fight for sure. You know, I see why it was a split decision, but I had it 29-28 Gordon on my scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how two other judges saw it. Jordan, Jordan, Garrett, is that what I was about to say?
Garrett Jordan.
Jared Gordon defeats Joe Selecki via...
It's Garrett Jordan now.
That's like Daniil Baryush.
Yep.
Fuck. Jared Gordon defeats Joe Selecki via split decision. 29-28, 29-28, 28-29. Looking at these guys' records now, Jared Gordon improves his overall record to 18-4. He's now 6-3 in the UFC, and 5 of his 6 UFC victories have now came by way of decision. And then Joe Selecki, on the other hand, my shit's going slow, sorry, falls to 11-3 overall, and his UFC record is 3-1.
Is that his little dick imprint in the fucking shorts?
Easy, pal.
What's up with that?
Why you dick watching? So that was the preliminary card.
Pause.
Overall, pretty good. Like we said, 4 performance bonuses came out on this one. So, yeah, definitely a good prelim. And then we move on to the main card now. And this one got started off with some fireworks. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it did. Alexander Hernandez taking on short notice replacement Mike Breeden. And oh, my God. Alexander Hernandez caught a body.
I mean, how vicious was this knockout?
Minute and 20 seconds. It only took...
Hernandez was looking good, too. Breeden was actually pressuring. Hernandez was on the back foot just a little bit. And, man, I mean, he came in excellent shape. This kid's really starting to put it all together.
Yeah, I think, you know, he got a short notice fight here, so.
True, but that Factory X, like, training, you can tell.
Yeah, yeah, no, his striking's right there. We know he's got the good grappling, too. So, yeah, like you said, this kid's, I mean, man, if he can just start putting some wins together, I can see him getting his, wasn't he ranked at one point?
Yeah, like, he knocked out Baryush in his first fight.
Yeah.
But, he was, like, top 10. And then he beat Avin Mercy after that, and then he called out Cowboy, and then it all went downhill.
Yeah. So, Alexander Hernandez defeats Mike Breeden via knockout due to a punch 1 minute 20 seconds into the very first round. Alexander Hernandez now 13-4 overall, 5-3 in the UFC. He's earned 8 of his 13 career victories by way of stoppage. Hernandez has earned all 3 of his UFC victories by knockout. Mike Breeden now 10-4 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. That was, I'm sorry, he's lost both of his stoppage losses in his career by way of knockout. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one.
We had Misha Surkinov going down to the middleweight division, taking on Christoph Jatko, and we got this one right, but it was a close one. Sorry. Misha, you're fine. Misha looked really good at this weight class. He looked very lean, very strong even against Jatko, but, you know, Jatko, longtime middleweight, I don't know if he's ever fought outside of that, not in the UFC at least, and he just knew what to do. He got a takedown of his own. Misha was definitely going for those takedowns. He actually landed 5 of them, but he attempted 17. It was Jatko in the striking department for sure. And, yeah, man, that's what got him the win. I didn't really have it split. Did you?
No, I
didn't see it that way.
I thought it was
pretty clear, unanimous.
Yeah.
2 for 3, but nonetheless.
Christoph Jatko defeats Misha Surkinov via split decision. 29-28, 29-28. One judge had it 29-28 for Surkinov. Christoph Jatko now 23-5 overall, 10-5 in the UFC. He became the 11th fighter in UFC history to earn 10 middleweight victories. Jatko has earned 9 of his 10 UFC victories by way of decision. Misha Surkinov now 15-7 overall, 6-5 in the UFC. Unsuccessful there in that middleweight debut. He's now 2-5 in his last 7 fights dating back to May of 2017. And he lost by way of decision for the first time in his career right there. But overall, I thought he looked pretty good at 185. So maybe,
same.
You know, stick with the division and good things will start happening.
Yeah.
Let's move to the welterweight division.
We had Alex Oliveira taking on Nico the Hybrid Price. So in this one, we picked Nico, obviously. I thought Nico was going to have a bit more advantage in the striking department, but it was actually Oliveira who looked really good in the first round. He came out clean. His strikes were long. He was throwing kicks out there. And Nico didn't really know what to do, but in the second round on, it was Nico Price.
Yeah, for sure. What we weren't expecting this one to go to decision, but that's what we got. And it was a good fight. I enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
Nico Price defeats Alex Oliveira via unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. Nico Price now 15-5 overall, 7-5 in the UFC. That was his first decision victory since August 12th of 2016, more than 5 years and 14 fights. Alex Oliveira now 21-11-1 overall, 11-9 in the UFC. He's 2-6 in his last 8 fights, and he's 9-8 with 1 no contest now in the welterweight division.
Jeez. Uh-oh. Why does Kyle look scared here? Like, he's like, don't make me throw the hands. So going into the co-main event, we had Kevin Holland taking on Kyle Daukaus. Kevin Holland ranked middleweight number 14. Kyle Daukaus, up and comer here. Kevin Holland been working on his wrestling, and it showed.
Yeah, we saw it.
Finally.
He did get taken down once, but he got right back up.
Yep, he looked good in the clinch and all that. Kyle went for 5 of them. So, very weird end to this one. Kevin Holland backs away. Boys come in, center of the octagon. Both head clash. Kyle's head hit Kevin's chin. Kevin gets knocked out cold. Kevin lands on his face.
Yeah, straight face planted.
Gets back up, though. Not, like, to his feet, but, like, back to
trying to work back to his feet. Kyle is punching him, trying to get all over him. Gets him back to the cage. Eventually locks up a rear naked choke. Gets the back. A standing rear naked choke for Kyle Daukaus. But when we went back and watched the replay, which I'm glad we can do that now. Used to not be able to.
You saw once the clash of heads happened, Herbine actually, or I'm sorry,
Mergliotta waves.
Mergliotta did like the, you know, instant replay signal. So it was a good thing right there.
Yeah. Used to not be able to do that. I'm glad we can now. They came together and decided it's a no contest.
It was so interesting seeing all just like Herb Dean, like helping him with
Sean Shelby in there.
Like, Sean Shelby, Mark Ratner, like the whole commission pretty much. Like it was crazy.
I agree with the call. You?
Yeah. No, I agreed with it.
Should it have been stopped right away? Sure. But in the moment, I didn't know it was a headbutt. I thought it was a punch. I thought Kevin just got knocked out. You know what I mean?
No, I knew I could see you offer if it was a.
I don't know. It just didn't resonate with me that it was a headbutt for some reason. So I was just like, oh shit, Kevin's done. But yeah, they're gonna run it back like I said in November. So
yeah, I'm excited to.
They see need that to. One. They need to.
Yeah, Kevin Holland versus Kyle Daukaus ends as a no contest due to an accidental clash of heads. 3:43 into. The very first round.
All right, moving on to the main event. We had Thiago Santos taking on Johnny Walker. And the entire time, they were hyping up... excuse me. Entire time they're hyping up this fight, they were saying, it's not going to go five rounds. We don't need the judges in this. Make sure you cash that under 1.5 rounds.
I said go over.
You did.
I said, bet that
but
over.
But not that over.
Yeah, no, I...
What a stinker. Like, two almost timid guys. This was not the Johnny Walker we know and love. This was a terrified Johnny Walker, it seemed to be. And Thiago, like, I don't know if he was just, like, trying to ride out a win. But when he... went forward, he was landing, and it was powerful.
Yeah.
The body kicks were nasty. Johnny's ribs were red as hell. The shots that he did land when he threw the overhand rights, they were landing. The crowd was making noise. Like, it was like...
It was like the Las Vegas Raiders were there, and they were wilding.
Yeah. It was like, go for it.
Let's go.
It's like, okay, now run. Go for it. You got him. You got him hurt. Nope. I'm just going to hang out.
Yeah.
Total strike zone, 44, Thiago Santos, 48, Johnny Walker. 25 minutes. That's insane. That is not what we thought it would be.
No, it wasn't. But, I mean, overall, you know, it was an interesting fight because we weren't expecting what we saw.
Very technical, I'll say that.
But like you said, kind of, yeah, just like stinker over five rounds.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, Thiago Santos defeats Johnny Walker via unanimous decision, 48-47 across the board. That's how you had it scored, yeah?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, Thiago Santos improves his overall record now to 22-9. Johnny Walker falls to 18-6. So let me give you guys a little rundown on how Slim and I did. Let me tell you guys, we've been fucking killing it lately on our picks. Like the last month and a half has been pretty good here for A&A MMA on the picking side.
Yeah.
Our last bad card we had was like the Barboza and Chikadze one where we both went 7-5.
Yeah,
but Brunson versus Till, I went 7-2. You went 5-4. You did kind of shitty that one. We both went 9-4-1. Smith versus Span, I went 10-3. You went 9-4 on Volkanovski Ortega. We come back with I went 9-3 on this one. You went 8-4. I was 5-2 on the prelims. You were 4-3, and then both of us went 4-1 on the main card. So we did good there. I'm up 3 on you in the main event total, and I'm up 14 now in the overall. The overall records are 230 wins, 148 losses, and 4 draws for me. You have 216 wins, 162 losses, and 4 draws. Get this. My prelim record, 132 wins, 74 losses. My main card, 98 wins. Same amount of losses, 74. I've been shitting the bed in main cards, fucking killing it on prelims.
Wow.
So, wild, but yeah.
Hmm.
What? So, how you feeling now? Is it starting to slowly creep in? Like, I'm fucked, dude.
I don't like to think of it that way, but... not feeling the most confident.
Okay. Hey, just keep chipping away, buddy. That's all you can do.
That's all you're going to do.
All right, you guys. So
I almost tried to do a switcheroo on you for Santos, too.
Didn't you already use a switcheroo this year?
I don't think so. If I did, I don't know what I used it on.
Slim, are you lying? Are you trying to trick me, Slim?
Do you need it? Like, what? Fuck off.
So, yeah, when we come back, all we got is just one fight card to talk about this weekend. It's Mackenzie Dern versus Marina Rodriguez. Overall, like Slim said, not like the best card, but there's some hidden bangers on there and a couple fights I'm really excited to talk about. So we're going to take a quick break here, get some new brews, and we'll be right back with some crisp ASMR from the A&A MMA Boys.
Oh, yeah. Favorite baseball player of all time?
Jim Thome. The reason why I wear number 25.
Nice.
Statue built outside of Jacobs Field, a.k.a. Progressive Field.
Nice.
Jim Thome. Let's go. All
right.
So it is 10 fights on this card here.
A little shorty, short, shorty.
Nothing too long, nothing too extreme, just like your average fight card.
Let's break it down, shall we? We have in the very first fight of the night in the where is this? This is the 155-pound division.
Yes.
Whoa.
Charlie Ontiveros coming down from the 185-pound division.
Yeah, hold the phone.
And he's combined between these guys. Guess how many fights they have at lightweight? Combined.
I don't know, three?
One.
What?
One.
This is, who's not fought there ever?
Well, Garcia fights at featherweight, and Ontiveros always fought at 170.
Oh, shit. Wow. All right. This will be interesting.
Meeting in the middle.
All right. Well, we'll start with Charlie. We know what happened to him back in... actually, it's almost been an entire year since
we've seen him. Let the people who don't know what happened to him.
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. Well, you said you just like were assuming people knew what happened to him.
It's almost been an entire year since we've seen what happened to him, which was when he got slammed into the ground by Kevin Holland in the clinch. Fucked his neck up.
Felt a pop in his neck.
Yeah, he verbally tapped. He was carried out on a stretcher. It was all bad news. But he was coming on very short notice for that fight. Yeah, and we haven't seen him since. He also, his last fight before that was almost a year before that. So this man does not have the best strength of schedule. He's only 30 years old, so that's not too bad there. But he's taking on Mean Garcia here. He's 29 years old. He will have a 2-inch height disadvantage and a 3-inch reach disadvantage here. But he fights out of Jackson Wink. He's coming off a loss to Luis Pena back in February of last year. We haven't seen him in a long time. But he was on a 4-fight winning streak before that. Finish in his Contender Series fight in 2019 over Desmond Torres. And then, I guess he didn't get the contract. He went to the LFA and knocked out Jose Mariscal with a flying knee and some elbows.
Yeah, so... just a note here, every single one of Charlie Ontiveros' losses have came by way of knockout, all seven of them. So when you watch Ontiveros, obviously in this one I feel like he's going to have like the size and just like thickness advantage over Garcia here, but Garcia I'd say will probably have the striking advantages pretty much through and through. It'd probably be more beneficial for Ontiveros to try and get this one to the ground. But I just honestly see Garcia on the outside of this one just kind of picking his way with his shots. And, yeah, I think it should just be – if he can establish the kicks as well, I think that'll be a big thing for Steve Garcia in this one. But, yeah, I just – I don't know, man. I'm not too high on Ontiveros. I know that short-notice fight versus Kevin Holland, like, that's not your ideal first fight in the UFC. But – didn't go his way, like, whatsoever. So, I'm going to go with Steve Garcia in this one. Who are you going with, Sam?
I mean, he took Pena 3 rounds, so, yeah, I think I'll take Garcia, too.
A&A MMA going with the minus 320, Steve Garcia to defeat the plus 250, Charlie Ontiveros. Those odds are maybe a little bit high for my liking, but, yeah, nonetheless, I do like Garcia in this one for sure.
All right, moving on to the next fight. We go to the women's strawweight division. We have Lupita Godinez taking on newcomer, yes?
Yep.
We have Silvana Gomez Juarez.
Yeah, so if you guys remember, Cody Brundage just a couple weeks ago took on Nick Maximov on short notice. He was going to fight on the Contender Series that upcoming week. Well, that's the same thing that's happening here with Silvana Gomez Juarez. She was supposed to be fighting on the Contender Series next week. And, you know, when you get the call, you got to step up. This is a fighter, though, that people for a long time have been saying should be in the UFC. And sorry, I kind of just like jumped in. You go ahead.
You're good. She is 10-2, 36 years old, 5'3 with a 63-inch reach. Mostly fighting in Combate and a couple fights in... a lot of fights in XFC, actually. She's on a 3-fight winning streak right now. Unanimous dub and two first-round knockout and a second-round knockout in her last one back in February. So she was, like you said, poised and ready to go to the Contender Series. But she takes on Lupi here. She's only 28. I believe there's going to be... let me see about the height here. 2-inch height advantage. Or, I'm sorry. 1-inch height advantage, 2-inch reach advantage for Sylvania. Lupi, though, she's coming off a loss to Jessica Penne in her UFC debut, but she was entirely undefeated before that.
Yeah, so this one's going to be interesting because Gomez, really good boxing, just loves coming forward with the pressure. I personally thought she beat Jessica Penne. That fight was always kind of weird to me. And then I also kind of want to talk about Juarez's game plan and who she's fought here.
I didn't even mention that.
She has two losses to Ariane Lipsky and Poliana Botelho, and she also has a win over Vanessa Mello, all of those outside of the UFC. And obviously that Vanessa Mello win keeps aging better and better. But this is, like, really interesting because I think this is a better matchup than Sam Hughes. Sam Hughes kind of, like, did everything right, like, but not, like, she didn't have, like, a specialty. You know, she always kind of, she's kind of, like, mid at everything, which is good. But, and also, I forgot to mention, this was going to be a trilogy bout between Lupi and Sam Hughes. They fought twice as amateurs.
Oh, yeah. One draw, one win for Lupi.
It was going to be a trilogy. But nonetheless, we get a really fun fight here in this one. People have really been asking for Silvana Gomez-Juarez to be in the UFC for a while now. Finally getting their shot here. And I think we have an awesome fight on our hands. Two pretty similar stylistic matchups. So I'm expecting a lot of like crisp boxing exchanges in this one. It'll be a fun one, man. I am going with Lupi, though. I was high on her coming into her first fight. You know, I thought she won that fight with Penne. Didn't go her way. But I'm still high on Lupi, so I'm rocking with her.
Every time I think you're going to go left, you turn right. Yeah, I mean, I got to do the same.
MMA going to agree on this one. Both going with the minus 275 Lupita Godinez to defeat the plus 220 Silvana Gomez Juarez. All right, let's go ahead and move now from that women's strawweight bout up to the featherweights. We have
Charles Boston Strong Rosa taking on Damon Jackson.
This is going to be a possible fight of the night right here. I'm expecting fireworks out of this one.
Could be Damon Jackson, the leech. You need to change that, buddy. he's 33 years old, coming off a loss to Ilia Topuria back in December of last year. So been quite a while since we've seen him, 10 months to be exact. He did beat Mirsad Bektic by guillotine choke in the third round, and also a first round rear naked choke before that, before he got into the UFC. Ton of submissions on this record. Like, it's absolutely insane. I love the matchmaking on this fight because we know what Charles Rosa wants to do. Get to the ground and try to tap you out. He got a split decision over Justin Chains in his last fight. But that was the one that he bet all the money on, right? Where he bet his paycheck on? Yeah, that's right. I know we talked about that, like, last week or whatever. Had a loss to Derek Minner, beat Kevin Aguilar, lost Brian Mitchell, beat Marina Bermudez, lost to Shane Burgos. So, I mean, man's been really, like, actually legitimately lost win. His entire UFC career. So, he's pretty much one of those ones that lives by the sword and dies by the sword. Sometimes he gets out grappled. Sometimes he's the grappler.
Yeah, it's like Antonina Shevchenko.
Yeah.
Very Antonina Shevchenko-esque. And Damon Jackson's like a very underrated grappler. Like, sure. He's
I wish I knew how many wins. I mean, I guess I could count, but
what are you trying to look for?
How many submission wins he has?
Who, Damon Jackson?
Yeah, out of his total.
Damon Jackson in his career has 14 submission victories.
Out of what, 18? I said
yes.
Nice.
So, two good grapplers here. The thing is, like, Charles Rosa, we've seen him get taken down so many times. I think that's going to be a huge problem because when he is on his back, he kind of accepts the position. You know, whoever's on top can really control from there. So, I don't know, man. This is a really, like, squirrely fight for me.
Squirrely!
Kind of, like, want to stay away from it for the most part. But, give me Damon Jackson.
Yeah, same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're going with the minus 180 favorite, Damon Jackson, to defeat the plus 155, Charles Rosa.
All right, moving up to the heavyweight division, we have King Kong.
This one's fire. This fight's awesome.
Yeah, Alexander Romanov taking on Jared Vanderia. Wow, King Kong taking on the Mountain?
I like it.
All right, cool. All right, let's start with Jared here. 29 years old, 6'4", we usually weighs in at the heavyweight limit. He's coming off a win over Justin Taffa. You name it, it's a dub. He lost to Sergey before that, and he did beat his Contender Series opponent, Harry Hunsucker, by first round ground and pound before that. Man's been in all over, like LFA, EFC, ton of different promotions. Romanoff, though, huge hype on this guy. He's only 30 years old, 6'2", and usually weighs in at the heavyweight limit. And it actually will be Jared with a 5-inch reach advantage. So that might be big in this. But Alexander Romanoff, I mean, we saw what he did to Juan Espino back in April of this year. Just ran through him. Choked out Marcus Fathead de Lima with a forearm choke in the first round.
Yeah, when do you ever see that?
Dude. Arm triangled Roque Martinez in the second round. I mean, the fact that this big dude who doesn't have the biggest reach advantage is arm triangling people like that, like, that's insane. And every single win, except for his last one, is by finish. Almost all of them in the first round. This dude's insane.
Yeah, so I really expect this fight to be very interesting because Romanoff,
sorry, three of his 13 fights were finished in the first round.
Ooh. So Romanoff,
early starter. He's only been to the third round. His last fight out was the first time he's been to decision.
So Romanoff, like, is so interesting because we think of him as such a great grappler, but he's not like your traditional grappler that you think of when we say that. Like, he's not going out there and getting like blast double legs. Like, no, he's not single legging you.
He's figuring it out.
He goes in there and gets you into like a belly on belly position, and once he gets there, he can throw any man in the world. Allegedly he has like sumo and Senegalese wrestling backgrounds.
Wow.
So that's probably where he got all that. But this dude, man, like, he's a master of getting up in the clinch and getting the tosses from there, especially in that belly-on-belly position. Now, Vandera, I think he will have a big advantage in the striking department. We've seen Romanoff get hit before, and we've seen Romanoff gas. Like, his gas tank's definitely not the best. So there's, you know, a lot of pros and cons for both guys going into this fight. But overall, I think it's going to be an exciting one between, you know, two promising prospects. But, like, Vandera, you know, went in there and got murked by Sergey Spivak.
Yeah, right? I mean, his last two losses have come from the ground.
Right. So I just expect Romanoff go out there, get the takedown in this one, and, you know, we'll see that grappling
prowess. Holy
shit,
he fought a dude that was 64-31. Oh, my God.
Dude, bro, everybody's fought Tony Lopez. That's like when you're a heavyweight, that's how you, like, get in the UFC. You fight Tony Lopez. Go look at all the people Tony Lopez has fought.
I'm trying to froze.
But yeah, I'm going with Alexander Romanoff.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the -675 biggest favorite on the card, Alexander Romanoff, to defeat the +475.
He fought Alan Belcher this year?
Jared Vandera.
Bare knuckle?
Yeah, go ahead. Name some of the just names you recognize.
Chris Barnett. In kickboxing, Chris Camozzi. Oh, yeah, that. No.
Dustin Jacoby.
Yeah. Spivak. Beltran. Joey Beltran. Let's see. Josh Parisian? God damn. Tanner Boser? This dude's active. Tim Haig. Houston Alexander in 2015. He got knocked out, he knocked out Houston. Wow. Jeremy Horn? Jared Cannonier in Alaska Fighting Championship? Alexi Olenek?
You've never heard of Tony Lopez?
No, I don't think I've ever looked at his record. I think I've heard of him. Shamil Abdurmakimov?
I told you. Like, if you're a heavyweight, you fought Tony Lopez.
Wow. Joey Beltran again. Holy shit, man. I mean, he started off his career fire.
Exposing Slim to fucking
legends,
I guess.
Unknown legends, unranked and unknown. All right. Anyway, yeah, Alexander Romanoff for the dub. King Kong.
ANA MMA. Moving on to the next one in the bantamweight division. This is the featured prelim bout.
Ooh, I'm excited. Get your leg kick counters ready, boys. It's Chris Gutierrez taking on Felipe Corrales.
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 Are you putting a sh on there?
Yep.
Corrales. You sure?
Corrales.
Corrales.
Nope. Corrales.
You do that so clean.
Corrales.
Anyway, we'll start with him. Only 27 years old. 10-2 record. He's coming off a win over Cool Hand Luke Sanders, who recently retired. That was back in June, earlier this year. He did lose to Montel Jackson before that. Beat Domingo Pilarte by split decision before that and lost to Geraldo de Freitas before that. Gutierrez, though, 16-3 with two draws. He's 30 years old, and this man's been a monster since he got in the UFC. Lost on the Ultimate Fighter finale to Ronnie Barcelos, but beat Ryan McDowell in the unanimous dub. Beat Geraldo de Freitas, split decision. Leg kick TKO'd Vince Morales. Had a draw to Cody Durden back last year, and unanimous decisioned Andre Yule. Gutierrez is nasty.
I believe something like Gutierrez has never thrown, or I'm sorry, of all the strikes he's landed in all of his fights, he's never had like less of them be 46% of leg strikes or leg kicks. Like, I mean, that's his lowest.
What's that going to do to his
legs?
That's
his lowest.
What's that going to do to his legs?
Them bitches are probably made of iron, bro.
He's got Tony Ferguson legs.
Joints.
He's kicking steel poles.
Right. But yeah, like you said, Chris Gutierrez, I mean, when it comes to pound for pound best leg kickers in MMA, I'd say it's Chris Gutierrez right now.
So top of my list.
So and obviously, him and
Justin Gaethje's right below it.
Obviously, that's one of his keys. But his striking has really taken on an even higher standard too. Like you said, working with Factory X Muay Thai always helps out. So his boxing's gotten a lot better. We saw that in his last fight. And if he can just keep translating those leg kicks into active striking, it's going to keep falling into place for him. But we've seen Colares, like, this dude's no pushover, bro. And he's really skilled in a lot of different, like, facets of the game. I mean, he's got pretty good striking power in his hands, and he's got submissions in his back pocket as well. So, I don't know, man. I think this is going to be a pretty interesting fight here. But, you know, from what I've seen out of both of these guys, I think I'm going to have to go with Chris Gutierrez.
Big time. What's the odds on that one?
Chris Gutierrez minus 250 over the plus 200.
I like it.
So, right. A&A MMA agreeing on this one. We're both going with the minus 250, Chris Gutierrez, to defeat the plus 200.
No
Felipe
disagreements.
Colares.
No disagreements on the prelims. On to the main card. It's
stop copying me.
Yeah, right. First fight of the night, we got Megatron, Phil Hawes, taking on Darren Wynn here. So it's going to be quite the clash of styles. Darren Wynn, 32 years old, only 5'6" for the middleweight division. And if you'll know, last time, you know what he weighed in at? Take a guess. Don't look at it. Take a guess.
190?
194 and a half. Fuck. For middleweight. Get it under control. DC is your coach. Like, how does DC even let you do that? Just pull out, bro, at that point. You're 10 pounds over. That's some fucking Anthony Rumble Johnson shit. Like, you show up for middleweight, you're weighing in light heavyweight, like, fuck it. The UFC's like, I'm cutting you. Like, he's one fight away from that happening. Anyway, he beat Antonio Arroyo, lost to Gerald Mearshar and Darren Stewart in his two UFC fights before that, and beat Eric Spicely. So he's 2-2 in the UFC right now. He is quite the grappler. I mean, that's obviously his bread and butter fighting out of AKA. We know what them boys are about. Phil Hawes, though, only 32 years old, 6 foot tall. He has a 77.5-inch reach, so he will have a 7.5-inch reach advantage and a 4-inch height advantage. This dude's been on a tear. He's on a 7-fight winning streak dating back to 2019 in Bellator. Went from Bellator to Brave to Contender Series to UFC. I mean, this man's been on fire. I didn't think he was going to do Kyle Daukaus how he did.
Right. But that just shows, dude, like, how well-rounded this guy is. I mean,
and Nassardi Imamov, like, what?
We know how what Darren Wynn's going to be trying to do, man. He's going to be trying to get you down on the ground. Typical like collegiate wrestler type. Phil Hawes, he's a good grappler himself, and he's just got that power in his hands.
Fight like, announcement real quick.
Ooh, nice.
Court McGee, the Crusher, is taking on
Ramiz Brahimaj.
Ooh, nice. That'll be a fun grappling bout for sure. Yeah. Yeah, overall, I just think this is all Phil Hawes, man.
Big time.
ANA MMA both going with the minus 305 favorite, Phil Hawes, to defeat the plus 240, Darren Wynn. All right, let's go ahead and move now to the women's flyweight division we have.
We have the parlay killer, Maria Agapova, taking on Sabina Mazo. So I was to do an interview with Maria earlier today. I didn't know she had that thick of an accent.
Dog, she's from fucking, like, Kazakhstan or something.
I know. I just didn't know it was, like...
You think people in Kazakhstan just speak, like, crisp English?
No, I thought... I swore I've heard her talk before, and it was English. Anyway, she pretty much said, you know, she was riding off that high... Shut up. She was riding off that high of knocking out Hannah Cyphers, that she took the Shayna Dobson fight on, like, just, like, a whim. She wasn't ready. Her mind, her body wasn't ready. And she hasn't fought since. That was over a year ago that fight took place.
One of the biggest upsets in MMA history.
Yes. It was of that year, for sure.
Oh, for sure that year, but, like, yeah. Statistically, all time, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, we know what she can do. Her two fights before that, Invicta, first round, rear naked choke, first round ground and pound, and then to come in the UFC and choke out Hannah Cyphers after putting on that beating, albeit Hannah Cyphers coming up a weight class, but still... look fantastic. So she's 3-1 in the UFC, and she took an L to Tracy Cortez in the Contender Series. Took her all three rounds. I can't wait to see what she does in this one. Sabina Miles, only 24 years old, she's coming off a loss to Alexis Davis, but beat Justine Kish, J.D. Aldridge, and Shanna Dobson.
MMA math, it works. Hey.
Before that,
so yeah. Kind of a clash of two styles here. Like, I feel like Mazo, she is super content to just stay on the outside, strike.
You remember when I got locked in that fucking website for, like, a whole day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The MMA math calculator?
Yeah.
Demetrius Johnson beats Francis Ngannou.
But Mazo, really content to stay on the outside and strike, especially in this fight. I think she'll definitely have the striking advantage against Agapova, who just has, like, a very weird kind of, like, I don't know, like, wonky type style, like, not very crisp with the hands. She throws, like, big looping shots.
She's got power, though.
She does, but it's just I'll give it to her, the punches come in from weird angles. You can't really see them hitting you, but we've seen before, she's been out grappled, she got out struck. I don't know, man, that really worried me. Like, I was pretty high on Agapova coming into the UFC, and just, you know, after she lost like that to Shayna Dobson, it's tough, man. I see this fight playing out with Sabina Mazo keeping this fight standing. A lot of punches from the outside, staying long. And, yeah, I just think Mazo wins this one by decision.
What's the odds on that one?
What?
Odds?
Just on, like, what? Decision for Mazo?
What are the odds on the fight?
Oh, on the fight? Okay. Sabina Mazo is the minus 195 favorite over the plus 165.
Maya, the tides have turned. You know right. What? Fuck it. I'm going to take Agapova.
First disagreement of the night. I'm going with the minus 195 favorite, Sabina Mazo. Slim going with the plus 165, Maria Agapova. All right. First disagreement there. I like it. Let's go ahead and move on now to the third to last fight of the night and a former title contender or challenger.
Yeah. Both. Always perennial contender. We got Tim Elliott taking on.
No, both weren't title challengers.
No, but, like, he was a title challenger and he's a title contender. He's always a title contender. He's always...
But right. There's a difference between a title challenger and a title contender. Tim Elliott fought for a championship.
Yeah. He's not... it's Matthias Nicolou. I'm not including him in that.
You said it.
I'm
you
saying, said both I said of them. Tim Elliott is both of the things you said.
Ah. Okay, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Anyway, Matthias, young 28-year-old... he's coming off that split decision win over Manel Cape in his UFC.
He lost that. Judges got it, gave him a win. He lost that.
So the crowd says. In his UFC debut, that was back in February of this year, or I'm sorry, March of this year. He was supposed to have a few fights before that, Jose Torres, and two fights with Tagir Ulanbekov both were canceled. So, yeah, Manel Capia is what he ended up with. I'm sorry, this wasn't his UFC debut. What am I saying? That was his return to the UFC. He also... Why did he get cut? His wins over Bruno Correa, John Moraga, Luis Smolka, and then lost to Dustin Ortiz, and then got cut. Oh, was he one of those flyweights when they were, like, talking about cutting the division?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, all right, like, yeah, you're not really ranked. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Matthias, so good dub for him. Coming back in here, Tim Elliott, though, he's always stayed on the roster. He's floated back and forth between 125 and 135. He's on a little win streak right now. Ryan Benoit and Jordan Espinoza, two decent wins, two decent decisions. When he was coming off a three-fight losing streak to Davidson Figueiredo, Askar Askarov, and Brandon Royval, three top five flyweights right now. I mean, you can't really knock him for that. He choked out Mark De La Rosa before that. This is probably going to go to the ground a lot.
I don't know, man. I think Nicolau will be content to keep this one standing because he's got such a crazy power advantage. Like, I'd say he's top three most powerful punchers in flyweight for sure. So I think he'd be content to keep this one standing. And we know Tim Elliott, like, he's got a just like a very unorthodox striking style. But he's
now that's a herky jerky.
He's style. Another guy that's like just well rounded, does everything like pretty well, doesn't have one specialty. He's fine fighting off his back if he has to. But we know when he gets top control, man, he's a son of a bitch. So I'm interested.
Matthias has never been tapped out.
I do think we'll probably get some grappling exchanges in this one, but I just think Nicolau will be content to keep this one standing as much as he can. This is a tough fight to call, man, because Nicolau just has that game-changing power, and we know Tim Elliott just does so many different things really well.
Elliott holds a 1-inch height and 1-inch reach advantage.
I'm gonna go with Matthias Nicolau on this one.
You know what? I'm gonna take the underdog. I already know he's an underdog. Tell me.
+200.
Yeah, I'm taking Tim Elliott.
+200. I'm sorry. Matthias Nicolau is the -200 favorite over the +170 Tim Elliott. All right, time for the co-main event of the evening, and this is going to be a fucking banger.
What kind of fucking co-main event is this?
What? This is fire.
I'm talking shit. It's Rude Boy Randy Brown taking on Jared Gooden. The Night Train. Start with the Night Train. He's only 27 years old. Coming off a win over Nicholas Stoltz. He did have two losses before that, though, to Ubakar Nurmagomedov and Alan Jobin. But he was on a three-fight finish streak before that outside of the UFC. Rude Boy Randy Brown, though. We've seen him be in there for quite a while now. We saw him take an L to Vicente Luque back in, September of last year. But he came out with a nice arm triangle choke. A one-armed rear naked choke, I'm sorry, over Cowboy Oliveira back earlier this year. He also beat Wally Alves and Brian Barberina in 2019. Like, those are really good wins.
Oh, he's got a lot of great wins.
Yeah. I mean, this has been in the UFC for like an unknown amount of time. You know what I mean? Like, you don't remember like early Randy Brown fights, but like he's been at it.
Yeah. And then like on the other side, Jared Gooden, slow start in his UFC career with those two losses, and then has that one like,
oh yeah, that was
just good. I remember I was on vacation when he knocked out Stoltz like that, and I was going off. I was in like the bathroom taking a shit, watching it on my phone. And I was just like, "Oh, oh!"
That's
like
when you find out what he's made of.
It was a crazy knockout, man. He got him good, but to get a co-main event spot off that against a guy like Randy Brown, man, I just think it's a little bit too early, or too much too early. I just think like pretty much everywhere Randy Brown should have an advantage here in this one. Now, don't get me wrong,
not the hands.
Not the hands.
He's taking it down.
He'd like to get it, but he's a long, lanky striker. I mean,
yeah.
And pure power, yeah, Jared Gooden probably has him there. But I think when it comes to volume, I bet we'd see more. If it's a full three-round fight, I bet Randy Brown lands more punches for sure.
All right, I'll give you that.
So I'm going Randy Brown here. I'm confident about it, too.
Yeah. I mean, I got to do the same. He got a decision by a retiring Alan Jobin. And Abubakar, which hasn't been the best in the UFC.
Ooh, yikes. A run in the first inning. Not good for my under.
Yeah, we're agreeing on that one.
And MMA both going with Randy Brown, who is currently the minus. -235 favorite over the +190 Jared Gooden.
Whoa. I like it.
Would you expect it to be more or less?
Less.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
I think Randy Brown's just like way ahead of Jared Gooden.
Usually people get that recency bias about like those big knockouts.
Yeah, it was a nice knockout, but he was 0-2 before that.
I know, I'm just saying. You know what I mean. Anyway. Right,
let's move on to this women's strawweight main event, and I'm really, really excited about this one.
Yeah, this is...
I don't know. I'm kind of just, like, excited. Like, I think it's going to be, like, a good fight. Like, both fighters are going to, like, come in and have, like, a good time.
Football's on.
It's not till 8:30. I know it says 8:20, but...
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what's going on, really. I just kind of say things.
I thought football was on. Maybe it's not. Mackenzie Dern taking on Marina Rodriguez. Battle of the Brazilians at strawweight. This is going to be
Mackenzie's from Arizona.
Oh yeah,
Shorty's from Arizona.
I forgot. That's why we make fun of her. All right, so Mom Kenzie Dern, 28 years old, 11-1, 5'4" with a 63-inch reach, fighting out of Black House MMA. She has looked fucking amazing lately. She's on a 4-fight winning streak since losing to Amanda Ribas back in 2019. Almost 2 years ago to the day.
To this day!
Which, we can talk about that. That's this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit.
So, Hannah Cyphers by knee bar, first round. Reina Marcos, arm bar, first round. Verna Jandiroba, took her all 3 rounds because Verna's a beast.
Yeah.
Nina Nunez, first round, arm bar, you're out of here. Dude, Mackenzie Dern, you already know what's going on. She's on a new level lately. I mean, she's
really
not
improving with her hands. Like, that's one thing that's really impressed me so far. Like, obviously, like, yeah, she's always had that jiu-jitsu to fall back on, but it seems like she kind of realized, like,
I got to set this up.
Like, I have this. Like, I've been doing this forever. Like, now I need to start working on my hands. And you can really see the improvement with her boxing.
Yeah. Marina, though, coming up 2 nice dubs. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll talk about her. 34 years old. I didn't know she was that old. 14-1 with 2 draws, 5'6" with a 65-inch reach. So it will be Mackenzie down 2 inches and down 2 inches in reach as well. Marina's coming off 2 nice wins, like I said, Michelle Watterson and Amanda Ribas when she knocked out in the second round on that
MMA math.
On that Poirier McGregor 2 card. That's absolutely insane. She lost a split decision to Carla Esparza in, like, I mean, her UFC record is just weird. Like, just 2 draws and then 2 wins in between. And then, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know. we know what's going to happen with this one.
Yeah, so
Mackenzie, take it down. Marina, keep it standing.
Yeah, Rodriguez. Like you said, yeah, I mean, there's really no other way to describe this.
That's really it.
Yeah. Rodriguez has to keep this one standing, and Dern wants to get this one to the ground. I mean, if it hits the ground at all, Mackenzie Dern should probably get the stoppage right away.
It's over.
But like we said, we've seen some improvements with Mom Kenzie and her hands, so we'll see if she can translate that all together. I do think this is one of the toughest challenges yet for Mackenzie Dern in her career.
For sure.
But same with Marina. So I'm really excited about this fight, man. But you know what? I'm going with the underdog here. Give me Marina Rodriguez.
I like it. Give me Mackenzie Dern.
ANA MMA disagreeing on the main event of the evening. Slim going with the favorite, Mackenzie Dern, -170. And I'm going with, like, I don't know. I just felt like maybe I'd go out on, like, a whim. Like, I think her striking is really good, and she has, like, a good
Mackenzie Dern by submission is +100. Give me that.
I'm going with the +150, Marina Rodriguez.
I like it.
I have better odds just picking Rodriguez straight up than you do picking Dern by submission.
Okay, but you know my kid's going to win. All right.
I don't know.
You want to talk about this boxing? I had an opinion real quick. I couldn't peek.
So what you're... Oh, you want to talk...
The Gate Guardian.
You, like,
the,
you like bring it up for us to talk about it.
No,
and then
okay.
You're like,
run down,
you just like,
run down our picks, like, first of all.
Throw. Yeah, go pee while I do that. All right. So, in case you guys missed any picks, and in case I'm, like, super fried on Saturday and forget who Slim and I picked when I'm, like, putting in our stuff... Here we go with the first fight of the night in the lightweight division. Both of us going with Steve Garcia to defeat Charlie Ontiveros. In the women's strawweight division, both of us going with Lupita Godinez to defeat Silvana Gomez Juarez. In the featherweight division, both of us going with Damon Jackson to defeat Charles Rosa. In the heavyweight division, both of us going with Alexander Romanov to defeat Jared Bandera. In the bantamweight division, both of us going with Chris Gutierrez to defeat Felipe Colares. In the middleweight division, both of us going, and all those previous fights were the prelims, moving on to the main card. In the 185-pound middleweight division, both of us going with Phil Hawes to defeat Darren Wynn. In the women's flyweight division, I'm going with Sabina Mazo, Slim going with Maria Agapova. In the flyweight division, I'm going with Matthias Nicolau, Slim going with Tim Elliott. In the co-main event of the evening, in the welterweight division, both of us going with Randy Brown to defeat Jared Gooden. And then in the women's strawweight main event of the evening, I'm going with the Brazilian Marina Rodriguez, Slim going with the fake Zillion Mackenzie Dern. That is your rundown for this one. I will be using the hashtag UFC Vegas 39. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. Our at name is at @A&A_MMA. That's the letter A, the word and, the letter A underscore MMA. Please follow us, man. I put a lot of hard work into that Twitter to keep you guys updated on the fights. Try to be interactive with you guys anytime you reply to me. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess Slim's still taking a piss, but we're going to talk about the Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder trilogy coming up now. Slim's back. Did you wash your hands, or are you just touching everything with your dick palms?
Dick palms? Is that what he said?
Dick palms.
Yeah, wash my hands. So, it's Wilder.
You think Deontay Wilder wins this one?
No, I'm kidding. It's all Tyson Fury in this one. I really did want to see the, what's his name, Anthony Joshua fight. I was really excited for that, and then when Wilder pulled that fucking contract clause out of nowhere and they had to cancel the whole thing, I was pissed.
And then Anthony Joshua got murked by Alexander Usyk.
Exactly. So I am pretty excited for this one, but also, like, what if Wilder does win? Like, are they going to do another one?
I guess they have to. I mean, and people are quick to count out Wilder. He was a big underdog in that last one, too, but, well, not a big underdog in terms of boxing, but moderate underdog. And people forget, man, he laid Tyson Fury flat. And people,
in the first round. In the first fight.
I don't know. That was the second one.
No. That was the first one where he was, like, laying on the ground like that and he had to get up. That was the first fight, yeah.
Oh. Well, people forget about that.
True. It happened. It's there. The power is there. The will is there.
But the skills with Fury.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I think... oh, shit. They are playing.
I think I'm going to be watching that before right after UFC.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We'll be streaming it. I saw people talking about buying it.
No.
Y'all are silly.
No.
Y'all are silly.
No.
Not us.
No, sir.
Not today. but, yeah, it was your boy Zane AMMA, man. We enjoyed doing this for you guys, but we got football on. We're about to watch this shit. I got some bets going, so you guys already know the vibes. You know what matters right now. Shout out to my cat, Spyro. Love you, buddy. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We'll catch y'all later, man. Have a good weekend, y'all. Peace.
Peace.